Welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. Last week, President Obama told ABC's Robin Roberts that he now supports same-sex marriage, but he also acknowledged there would be disagreement and disapproval within the African-American community.
I think it's important to recognize that folks who feel very strongly that marriage should be defined narrowly as between a man and a woman, many of them are not coming at it from a mean-spirited perspective. A bunch of them are friends of mine, pastors and people who I deeply respect.
Especially in the black community.
Absolutely.
It is very a difficult conversation to
have.
Like the rest of the country, support for gay marriage is increasing among those in the African-American community. The most recent Pew poll taken in April showed 47% of African-Americans oppose gay marriage today. Support gay marriage today. That's a 20% point increase from 2008. How will President Obama's new position on gay marriage affect him politically in the African-American community? Joining us now is Sam Gresham, Jr. He's a consultant to government and the former executive director of Common Cause Ohio and the Columbus Urban League. He's a frequent political commentator on Columbus on the Record on WOS-TV. Welcome back to the show, Sam.
Well, thank you very much, Anne, for having me here.
So it's been about a week. Has the African-American community made the issue of gay rights a political? Well, let's go back in time and just ask if it's been a political issue in the past, that is, outside of the direct votes on the issue at the state level, as in North Carolina last week.
Well, first, I want to say thank you for having the show to be able to talk about this. And to answer your question directly, the issues of gays and the homophobia of the African-American church has been running since the beginning of the African-American church. I believe it was the first don't ask, don't tell situation. And I also believe that African-Americans know that gays are in their community. Now, how this issue is permeating throughout the community is it's going to have people who are going to say, I support Barack Obama. I don't agree with him on this issue, but I'm still going to support Barack Obama. You're going to have some people, simply because of the scripture interpretation, say, I cannot support Barack Obama. But the majority of African Americans are going to stick with Barack Obama and be somewhere close to 92% support of him in the election coming up.
Now, it was about 95% last time, so you think he will lose?
I think he'll lose something, but I don't know if it's going to be discernible. Significantly.
Politically, do you think he's handled it as well as he could? Could he have done things differently? Would you have advised him differently?
Well,
if you were, king for a day.
Most people say that it was an accident. I don't believe that. I think it was our.
You mean the Joe Biden?
I think that was the stick your finger up
canary
in
the coal mine.
That's exactly right. That's what I think that was. And it was a way of, in the last few weeks, they have been commanding the news, and they found a way to drown out Romney on his issues. So I think that was a whole scenario, to test to see what the reaction was, then follow up with it, knowing that it's a 36-hour news cycle, and then there's going to be the aftermath of whatever that may be. It was coincide with two critical fundraisers, one in New York and one in California. I don't believe this team does anything by accident. There's no serendipity here.
My guest is Sam Gresham, former executive director of Common Cause Ohio and also the Urban League. He is with us to talk about the president's announcement last week on ABC television that he now supports gay marriage. If you're listening and you're African-American and you want to tell us what your reaction has been in the past week to the president's decision, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Whether or not you supported the president in the first place, give us a call and tell us what you think about his announcement last week on gay marriage. You can also go to our website, I'm sorry, at our Facebook page at All Sides with Dan Fisher Facebook page. Okay, so we noted earlier that the tide for gay marriage is turning in the African-American community, just as it is across the board. An editorial cartoon in the Dispatch today had a man marrying two men, and he said, if anyone here objects to the marriage of these two men, speak up now because opponents are aging and dying off and soon won't matter anymore. And I'm wondering, do you think, are you surprised by that 20 percentage point increase in support, according to that Pew study? There's others that have it less and more. Are you surprised by that? And do you think it's just a matter of attrition, or are people changing their views?
Well, I call it demographic shift. I won't call it attrition. But younger people, specifically in the African-American community, and people of color also support gay marriage. They don't have the same perceptions of gay marriage as our old people in my generation, baby boomers, have. So, no, it's going to change, and it's going to gradually change. And from my perspective, I hope it helps the black church deal with some aspects of its own hypocrisy around this subject, and help people who are in the black church be themselves. That includes ministers, that's members of the choir, that includes women who are ushers and nurses. Allow them to be themselves within that context. And I think I am a Christian. I go to church on a regular basis, and I understand how we struggle with the idea of homosexuality in our community. And I understand that we have insecurities about our own sexuality. And when you add the scriptures on, it really creates a problem for us philosophically. But I think we are capable of wrestling with it, and we have to move on.
Asad in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so very much. Brother Gresham, how are you today, sir?
I'm fine. How are you, Asad?
I'm blessed, brother. I'm blessed. I just wanted to point out that, you know, I was looking at this issue, and I disagree with the president. However, I agree with you, brother, that I will still support Barack Obama for his reelection, but also begin to look at things a little more critically. I don't think we throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. But I think that it makes me to look at him a little more critically, even more so as it relates to some of the foreign policy issues. I find it very interesting how this whole gay marriage thing has blown up more than foreign policy issues of the United States. That's amazing to me that, you know, there's people being slaughtered in countries around the world, and the biggest issue that we're discussing is gay marriage.
And Asad, you mean because it really is only, we're only talking about a couple of percentage points of votes, and it really doesn't affect that many people or change that much?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because what Brother Gresham said something very interesting. We know what has happened in the black churches throughout the years, and as you said, the choirs and in the community, that, you know, homosexuality has existed. And though I may disagree, it is an issue that has to be dealt with within the churches, within the community, or what have you. And it's not really, you know, I mean, we may be a little turned off by it, but we're not unfamiliar with it.
Okay.
And so, you know, now we're all around the country, and the ministers are coming out saying certain things, but they know it happened in their choirs and in their churches for years. And, you know, so then the president stands up and says something, and now they're, oh, my God, you know, let's pray for him. But no one came out against some of the foreign policy issues with the same kind of vigor.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. You know, Sam Gresham, Asad said it's just kind of within the church. But it really isn't just within the church, because you have from the pulpit, ministers, pastors supporting the bans on gay marriage across the country. They led the effort in California. They led the effort. They were one of the leaders of the effort in North Carolina. They're going. It's not just about their own flocks.
No, it's about a thought process and a part of the culture of the African American community. Let me give you one that white America really doesn't know about in the area of homosexuality in the African-American community. It's called B-boys. And what B-boys are thugs who are gay, but they don't consider themselves gay. They enjoy interaction with men. They prefer that. But they are thugs and gang leaders called B-boys. And people know who these people are. Now, that tells you that is endemic at a level in our community that we are not really ready to deal with, and nor are we wanting to acknowledge that, not only in the church. And I could throw some names out at you, Barrett Rustin, Barbara Jordan, James Baldwin. I mean, all these people are gay, but they are major contributors to the cultural and political manure of the African-American community. Barrett Rustin taught Martin Luther King. Barbara Jordan
organized the March on Washington.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Baldwin wrote it in his books. So all of these people have always been a part of the fabric of the African-American community. So this subject is not new. We've been wrestling with it philosophically and politically for a long time, and culturally. And I don't want to separate that cultural aspect because it's been interwoven. We all have in our families people who are gay, but we haven't faced up to it. This may be a good chance for us to face up to it, not just in the church, but in our community to deal with this issue.
Lauren in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Hi, I was just calling to make a comment that I'm 25 and I'm African American, and like my whole life I wasn't allowed to watch like Ellen or any shows with like any gay people on it or anything like that. And my parents are both very Catholic, and because the president has came out as pro-gay or pro-gay marriage, my parents have changed their opinion. Now they're like, you know, we don't really care. This isn't like the biggest issue in the world, and if they want to get married, then let them get married. So just to see that, like, effect on my parents is, like, pretty big to me.
It is interesting. I am 63, so I'm probably in your parents' age. It's an interesting discussion when you get 8 to 10 African-Americans in a room, and that's happening all over America today, this week, particularly on Mother's Day. It happened. The pulpit that I was in, the minister spoke about it. There was a hum in the church about it. There were individual discussions. So it has never been as high a point of discussion on this subject in the African-American community than the last week.
As far as openly?
Openly discussing the subject.
Did you talk about it this weekend, Lauren?
Yeah, actually, I saw my mom this weekend, and we were talking about it, and my mom was just like, you know, I don't care. Let them get married. It'll help them. It'll help the economy, because they'll be putting money into the economy, like planning their wedding. So.
And you're saying, okay, then I can go out and get the full set of Will and Grace now, right?
Yeah, now I can watch it around my parents, I hope.
Okay, Lauren, thanks for your call.
You know, the Carrie Lawrence point on, one of the greatest and the most popular movie makers of the day, Tyler Perry, does a drag. And it's interesting to watch the African, and he's very popular. He is very popular, Madea, in that role. I mean, so culturally, it's a part of us. If you want to go way back, it was in Living Color. We had the two pundits who played the part of reviewing movies. And even before that, we had Flip Wilson. And Flip is Geraldine.
Geraldine, right.
And you had Jamie Foxx as that character he played.
Well, the whole boys dressing up like girls for the school talent show has been going on time immemorial.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's in the cultural fabric of our community. And we have interesting ways of dealing with it. Through comedy, we accept it. But when it's real and it deals with our personal relationships, we have difficulty.
We're talking about the president's announcement last week that he now supports gay marriage, or officially or openly supports gay marriage. If you're African-American listening to the show right now and want to tell us what you think about the announcement and if it's changed you or not, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
25-year-old Danielle Coleman is one of a growing number of parents who need extended child care. Action for Children has identified 40 child care centers open until 10 p.m., and more than a handful offer round-the-clock care.
The parents are working two jobs just to make ends meet.
Hear the latest in local and national news on Morning Edition on 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.
This is 89.7 NPR News, 64 degrees with sunshine in downtown Columbus. Sunny skies today, a high right around 80 degrees. Clear skies tonight, a low of 55. Sunshine for Wednesday, a high of 74.
Support for 89.7 comes from Montgomery & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, offering perspective in a time of economic uncertainty to help grow and maintain wealth. Details at themontgomerysolution.com.
Many 89.7 NPR News members have discovered the advantages of using the member card for two-for-one dining, cultural events, and family activities. The member card benefit of the month for May is the Gateway Film Center. Enjoy two-for-one admission all month long. Become a basic $60 member and get your member card by going to WOSU.org right now. And thanks for supporting 89.7 NPR News. And All Sides with Ann Fisher continues.
The tenor of the African-American community when it comes to same-sex marriage has long been considered on the sharp side, opposed and disapproving. As one African-American congressman told ABC News last week, on Sundays in the black community, the most conservative people in America are in those black churches. Joining us now to explore the history of that concentrated opposition to gay marriage and gay rights and gays in general is James Peterson. He's at Lehigh University of African Studies. He's at Lehigh University, professor of African Studies, speaking to us from Antigua. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the genesis of the African-American views on homosexuality? Why the historical opposition to gay marriage among black churches and voters? Sam Gresham, our other guest, said that it's been around as long as there has been an African-American church.
Sure. I think that what we're dealing with here is a very tangled and intricate web that has to do with white supremacy and racism, but also the systematic emasculation of black men. And so what you find within the African-American community historically is quite a bit of pressure to project a sense of masculinity as a way of wrestling with our own humanity. And so a lot of the, not a lot, of, but some of the misogyny and much of the homophobia that is generated or that becomes more pervasive within the African-American community is tied to this really, really complex history that has to do with the emasculation of black males during slavery and the systematic oppression of black folk over time. And so you add to that the things like the ways in which the prison industrial complex has a much more deeper and broader impact on the African-American community, the ways in which institutional racism and institutional biases impact and affect the African-American community, and we just it makes us somewhat regressive around certain issues, and marriage equality just so happens to be one of those issues. And so what happens from the pulpit is that you get a very neat, and I would argue cherry-picked ideology from the Bible to help to articulate and play on some of those fears and some of those misconceptions based upon that very, very complex history.
And, of course, the pulpit's been the continuous focal point of the community throughout history.
Yes. Well, we have to remember the reason why the pulpit and the church has such an exceptional sort of impact and value within the African-American community, because historically, again, it goes back to the institution of slavery. The church was a space where all of the organizational opportunities within the African-American community took place. So any opportunity to speak freely, any opportunities to have intimacy, any opportunities to meet and commune, any opportunities to plan or organize resistance, all took place within the black church. Remember, Nat Turner was a preacher, right? And so that history shapes the current moment in the sense that many of our leaders are trained and reared within the African-American church. Many of our artisans and our celebrity leaders are trained and reared within the African-American church. And with that kind of sort of substantive impact, what we're dealing with here, with especially with marriage equality, is wrestling with an issue that actually has roots in all of these sort of complex histories.
You are quoted in the Daily Beast as saying that gay marriage and the president's support for gay marriage isn't a wedge issue for blacks with the president. In other words, they can agree to disagree in general.
That's exactly right. I did Good Morning Antigua yesterday. This is a great little anecdote, but it reflects, I think, where the African-American community is. And the host there was very much interested in the fact that I do a lot of cable news in the United States, and I speak about politics a lot. But before we came on air, He told me this story about his mother, who's a staunch Obama supporter. It's hard for people to understand the impact that Obama has in black countries around the world. Like, they have Mount Obama here in Antigua Barbuda. But his mom said to him that, you know, she was so disturbed by the president's position on gay marriage, and she felt like God would render his judgment on President Obama and on his administration. And I asked him, I said, well, if she could vote for Obama, would she vote for him in the second term? And he said, absolutely. And I think that's, I mean, I think people need to understand this. So the African-American community ranges between the high 80%, like 87, 88%, and 90% in support and in favor of President Obama. The reason why this issue cannot function as a wedge issue in this election is because of those numbers. And so while African-Americans don't agree with the president on everything, they support this president because the policies and the issues that he's been engaged in his first term are things that are completely consistent with the long arc of the African-American experience, despite his greatest critics who talk about his sort of vulnerabilities on poverty and the high unemployment rates in African-American communities. By and large, African-Americans support this president, and it's I would actually argue that there's virtually no issue outside of some bizarre kind of racial issue that could function as a wedge issue for this president's reelection process.
Abdul in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Good morning, and thank you for my call. You said call if you are Afro-American, and always have a difficult of that term. I'm originally come from Somalia.
Okay.
I am an American, and I totally disagree with the president at all. And if I had the opportunity to ask him one question, that question will be, what does it mean to you when you say you are Christian? Even though I'm not a Christian, but I am a believer of Jesus. And I feel that the Christian society are slowly moving away the fundamental teaching of the Bible. And as long as president or the vice president or anybody can follow easily their own desire, I think that they're teaching us the wrong message. So I really totally disagree with them.
That James Peterson, that fundamental reference, how is that playing out?
Yeah, that's so tricky, though, right? Because fundamentally, remember, the Bible was used to support slavery. You know, the Bible has been used to support a tremendous amount of oppression and violence around the world based upon so-called fundamental interpretations. I think, and I'm not a religious scholar, by the way, but I think that what we need to consider here is that the president of the United States is not at all interested or invested in imposing his Christian beliefs on the United States. And the sort of spirit of this country is that freedom of religion means that people have a right to not have religion. So as much as people want to sort of make this a Christian country, and as much as Christians understand that they're in the majority in this country, each president that we have, I think, has a duty to maintain a sort of very vigilant separation of church and state. And although marriage for many, many people in the Christian church is seen as a religious union, you have to allow for the fact that marriage is also a social institution and that there are people who are married who are not religious. And I think what the president's position articulates is this idea that when marriage is looked at purely as a social institution, there are certain rights that attach to that. And by and large, we're a country that is invested in civil rights and that does not make religious judgments to sort of legislate policy and practices with respect to people who may or may not even be religious at all. So I know that sounds a really sort of complicated way. I don't disagree with the caller's views, but those views should not apply to policy and legislation in the United States. This is not a religious state.
Abdul, thanks for your call. Take care.
Thank you.
Thad in Reynoldsburg, you're on the air. Welcome to...
Hello?
Hi, Thad? Oops. Okay, we're going to have to call our guest back, James Peterson. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about the president's announcement last week on ABC News that he now supports gay marriage. He said he didn't want to interfere with the states as they proceed with their votes up or down on the issue, but that he supports it as president of the United States. Also with us is Sam Gresham, former executive director of Common Cause Ohio and also the Urban League. He's now with AARP Ohio. Sam, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What about that fundamentalism? And have you talked to people who are struggling with that?
Yeah, I've talked to lots of people who are struggling with it from a scriptural standpoint. But I think Dr. Peterson made a very important point. And his point for it, the Bible has been used to support slavery. It has been used to support the colonization of Africa. So therefore, when you look at how the text has been used by those who purport to be Christians, this issue becomes another in a long history of how it has been used to interpret the sexuality. Now, I also want to say something else. The African-American church is not the only church struggling with the sexuality around this issue. All churches are. We tend to be more pronounced because of how we see the issue and how it affects our community. And I think Dr. Peterson made another important, the emasculation of African-American males as it translates to the African-American church is significantly different than it translates to the white church. And that's why that issue is a lot more poignant and critical to us.
Welcome back, James Peterson. Looks like we lost him again. Okay, we'll try that again. Email from Angel. She writes, I'm glad the president finally spoke up because he looked wishy-washy and I agree with his opinion. As a black person, I am deeply ashamed of black folks who vote against gay rights. One thing I'm proud of about my race is that we don't waste our time trying to undermine other people's pursuit of happiness. These same folks don't discriminate against the gay people they have in their lives. Finally, as a race, we need to work on other issues like all the single women at church who are clearly have sex before marriage and have children to show for it. That's a real issue.
You know, one of the things when we talk about politics in this area, we don't realize that the African-American community is probably one of the keenest and smartest communities on its own perspective about politics. And if you understand the history of the African
American, in other words, they're very involved.
Yes. But they're also very keen, very intelligent. We supported the president, what's his name?
Who's he? What's it? I don't know.
Gave us the emancipation.
Lincoln.
We supported Lincoln, and we stayed in the Republican Party until FDR came along. And then when FDR did things for us that were appropriate, we supported him. So we are not a monolith. We don't stay with things that are not good for us. And now, on this issue, we will evolve because all of the polling says that young Christians have a different view on this. And eventually, young black Christians have a different view on this. And it will evolve.
James Peterson, are you there? Nope. For some reason, it's just not working. Okay. We're done. We're sorry about that. We're not going to be able to get James Peterson back. He is an Africana Studies professor from Lehigh University. He was calling us from Antigua, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but luckily Sam Gresham's still with us, so that's all that matters. Email from Kelly, African Americans were reduced to second-class status for decades simply for being their natural selves. Why then is overt judgment remotely acceptable? It's unabashed hypocrisy. Of course, you know, the point is, Sam, not everybody believes
still
that homosexuality is not a choice.
Right.
Brahm in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Brahim, are you there? Nope. Okay, then we will move to Sheila in Akron. Hi, Sheila, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
Would you like my comment?
I sure would.
I don't necessarily agree with President Obama, and I am an African-American woman. We cannot legislate morality such as abortion. Good morning.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I do not necessarily agree with President Obama. I'm an African-American woman.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot legislate morality. It's the same as an abortion. If you have a relationship with God, it's a personal thing. I do agree that gays have rights.
Okay. All right. Sheila, I guess it's just one of those days on the phone. Sheila, I'm sorry. We're not That got cut off, too. Anyways, Sheila doesn't support gay marriage, but she doesn't think that it's her right to legislate what other people do.
I'll infer that Sheila will continue to support President Barack Obama, too.
Yeah, in that same Daily Beast article that I referred to earlier that quoted James Peterson, a 75-year-old woman is quoted as saying that the president's announcement has given her pause to reflect on her lifelong opposition to gay marriage. And also Lauren, one of our first earlier callers, said her parents were kind of saying, well, you know, it's just not that big of a deal. And they wouldn't let her watch, you know, certain shows on television because of their points of view. Do you think those are anomalies? Do you think that's going to happen that much, that long-held beliefs will change because of this?
I don't think there will be significant shift in people's interpretation of the scripture. But I do believe at this point there's a great deal of discussion which is going to end up in people gradually moving and become less hardened about their perceptions of gay and lesbian African Americans. I do believe that's going to happen. I don't think there are people who say the scriptures are things they must follow, and they're going to hang on to that. They're not going to change that. But then they are going to support politicians for other reasons other than what the scripture says to them, because they believe in the broader perspective on that person.
Liam in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was sitting there listening, and one of the things I'd have to say as a black African-American male is we have lost most of a lot of our foundation for a black family. And to add to it by accepting the acceptance of bringing the homosexual view into the family, it just helps break down more of what we don't have right now. You know, we're trying to get men back into the home as fathers and mothers to take their roles. And I don't think that that's a good support of what the black family needs at this time. And the other thing is, I don't think the president personally has given us as black men or black women any support since he's been in office. In a lot of what we need as in our community, I feel like he's actually ignored us. And this view is just another part of his ignoring our needs and desires. Thank you.
All right, Liam, thank you for your call. Sam?
I believe in certain parts of his call, he's on point. There is a strong belief in certain segments of the African-American community that our current president, Barack Obama, has ignored us. He also says something else. We're struggling with the masculine image of African-American males, and to another degree, this may affect that. But in my head, we always knew there were gay people in our families, in our churches. Have we been hypocritical about that, and do we need to face up to it? I don't think that's been a determining issue on the definition of masculinity for black males, gay people in churches.
My guest is Sam Gresham, former executive director of Common Cause Ohio in the Urban League. If you have a question or comment, if you're African-American, we'd like to hear from you today. Give us a call. Tell us what you think about the president's announcement last week that he now supports gay marriage. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Coming up, Elder Michael Reeves, pastor at the Corinthian Missionary Baptist Church in Columbus. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, $2 billion lost in a flash by J.P. Morgan. Is this an argument for the Volcker Rule, cracking down on speculative bets by the banks? That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. And stay with us in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock. Tech Tuesday begins, and a discussion of technology upgrades at the OSU football stadium, also consumerism, gadgetry, and the Google car. Join us for Tech Tuesday from 11 till noon on 89.7 NPR News. Sunshine today and a high of 81 degrees. Clear skies tonight, a low of 55. More sunshine on Wednesday, a high of 74. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
At the center of the issue of blacks and gay marriage is the pulpit. An African-American minister helped lead the charge for the gay marriage ban approved in North Carolina last week. As soon as word broke that the president had given same-sex marriage his stamp of approval, the media flocked to the ranks of African-American ministers across the country. Joining us now to reflect a week later is Elder Michael Reeves, Sr. He's a pastor for 35 years, including the past 33 at Corinthian Missionary Baptist Church in Columbus. Corinthian is part of the Ohio Baptist State Convention, the National Baptist Convention USA, and the American Baptist Churches USA. Welcome to the show, Elder Reeves.
Thank you so much. It's a joy to be here.
Did the president's announcement last week surprise you?
No, it didn't. One is based on where he went to church. As everybody knows, he was a member of Dr. Jeremiah Wright's church. Dr. Jeremiah Wright has been one of the front runners in accepting the homosexual movement. And so being there and being under his tutelage, it did not surprise me at all. I applaud him for taking a stand. And I want to just say parenthetically, I'm not homophobe. I am not afraid that it's going to rub off on me or scare me. But I do want to make it clear that as a man of God, that there are principles that I have to ascribe by, because then I would be hypocritical to teach something that I too don't believe myself. And so I have the Word of God as my standard. And as I listen to the calls and how the Bible has been misused, and I agree 100%, it has been misused. It supported slavery. Even today, there are organizations that misuse the Bible. I do believe that marriage, based on my theology, is between a man and a woman. In Genesis 2, he told them, replenish the earth. Two men can't replenish. Two women can't replenish. And it goes on and on and on in terms of what the Bible says about homosexuality. As Christians, we have to decide whether or not we believe that the Bible, one, is the Word of God, truth without error, where our standards. I appreciated the brother's phone call about the family. Our families are struggling, and in particular in the African-American community, they are struggling. 71% of children born in the African-American family are born in single-parent homes. That's a struggle. So as I look at it, it compounds the issue. It confuses our children, who are confused already, in terms of who do I call mommy? Who do I call daddy? Do I call mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, daddy? So it's confusing. So you have children growing up that's confused. Back to Sam, the homosexual movement in the black church is nothing new. I think that we have been hypocritical. And my concern about the African-American church and church period, let me just remove African-American church period, I think is hypocritical. I'm a churchman. I've been in church all my life. I've been pastoring the last 36 years. I love the church. Give my life for it. We have been extremely hypocritical. Hypocritical because we won't talk about the issues that really mean something. We won't talk about HIV. We don't talk about mental illness. We don't talk about those things, homosexuality. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about sex. We don't talk about anything that really causes us to think. It's like church has been a spiritual drug that when you're stressed out, go to church, get a little drug, feel good, go home, live happily ever after. That's not real life. That is not what God intended for the church to be. The church is supposed to be a living organism. It speaks to the entire life, to the entire person, to the whole man. We talk about heaven and pie in the sky and by, but you know what? There are men and women who come to my church every week who want to know, how do I face everyday problems. My home is getting ready to be foreclosed on. My family is going through hell. You know, what do I do? And I think that we become very hypocritical in that aspect. Gay movement, it is old as old as old. Here's my big dilemma. The president came out and said, I support same-sex marriages. And everybody went ballistic. Oh, my God, what happened? You know, we're all going to hell in a breadbasket. But the truth is, nobody's speaking about the injustices that go on every day. The high rate of foreclosures, homes, families being broken up, the black-on-black killings. Nobody is screaming about that. That, for me, is just as immoral as same-sex marriage.
Have you tried to have these conversations in your church?
Oh, yes. We talk about it regularly.
This past Sunday, did the issue of gay marriage come up?
No.
From your pulpit?
No.
Were people surprised? Did anyone ask you about it?
Not at all. Not at all. And I think one is because they know my stand. And here's what people have to realize. I can't change anybody. That is not my job. That's above my pay grade to change anybody. My job is to be a seed planter. I plant seeds. It's God that gives the increase, not me. You know, so I can't change anybody whatsoever. And that's one of the things that people think, well, he's the pastor, he's the preacher. He's going to. No, I wasn't called to change people. I was called to preach the word. Plant some seeds.
My guest is Elder Michael Reeves, pastor at the Corinthian Missionary Baptist Church. We're talking about the president's announcement last week that he now supports gay marriage. Historical announcement. No sitting president has ever done that. Let's see. I want to get to some calls now. Michael? Michael in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pastor Reeves, I mean,
yes.
There's a considerable number of gay and lesbians that are in church, very active. And I'm curious as to if has the National Baptist Alliance, a ministerial alliance, excuse me, actually taken a position, a formal position on this?
You know, I am not able to speak on their behalf. I speak as the pastor of Corinthian Missionary Baptist Church. And as the senior pastor of Corinthian Missionary Baptist Church, it is our position that marriage is between a man and a woman. We can't force anybody else, our belief on anybody else. Everybody else has to make that decision on their own. Based on what we teach at our church, it's between a man and a woman.
Michael, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
An email from Lisa. She says, I am a 30-year-old Christian, divorced, African-American mother of two. I was very moved by the president's speech, especially when he talked about his children and the importance of teaching them the legacy of equality. Furthermore, I believe the president's position on health care, feeding the poor, and giving equal rights to women align more with my faith and the scriptures than the single topic of gay marriage. Barack Obama is our president, not our pastor. President Obama has my vote this fall, and it's been a wonder to see him keep my mother's vote, even though she is not in favor of gay marriage, but is disabled and benefits from subsidized programs. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can go and email us your comments at allsides@wosu.org. Robert in Cleveland, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Robert.
Yes, good morning. Yes, good morning.
Hi.
I don't see the debate on gay marriage as being anything having anything to do with religion. I think it's the choice of the dominant culture. What if we had numbers in America that wanted polygamy to be accepted, the release of all addicted people from penitentiaries, the age difference in female and male and female relationships, just drop the age altogether and allow it. If we had numbers supporting these things by the dominant culture, I believe it would be an issue as well. I don't see it as being religious. I think it's the dominant culture and the numbers that they represent in protesting different issues and forcing acceptance of their choices on the populace. I think that that's what should be addressed and not so much the religious angle.
Okay.
I think it's a yes. Thank you.
All right. Robert, thank you for your call. Elder Reeves?
Marriage is what it is, you know, and you can get married at a judge can marry you, you can do a civil service. But in the church, we believe and we teach that marriage is honorable. It is an institution that God created. And what it means, is it a panacea? No. Is it perfect? No. But it's what God created. He said it's not good that man should be alone. And he created him a helpmeet, one that was suited for. Out of everything that God created, when he decided to make Adam's helpmate, he didn't use a giraffe. He didn't use a baboon. He created something from Adam, gave Adam the opportunity to name that being. And Adam said, she shall be called woman because she was taken from the man. And so when I look at it, and that's the marriage is what it is. And from the church's standpoint, it's one of the highest moments in a person's life. One of the highest moments in a person's life.
Conservative columnist Cal Thomas has said that the issue of traditional marriage is one that most conservative Christians embrace, but that it is a battle they are unlikely to win for several reasons, including the behavior of so many in the traditionalist camp. They divorce at the same rate as any who supports non-traditional marriage. What do you think about that, Elder Roos?
Christians have a higher rate of divorce.
Cal was fudging them there.
You know, and so when you look at divorce today, you're looking at 51-52% of people who get married. There's reasons. One, the average couple that walks down the aisle goes down the aisle with the idea that they're not going to make it. Number two is it is we teach a principle, church wedding, biblical marriage. Church wedding, we want to make sure the limousines, the cakes, the robe, the gowns, all that stuff is perfect. They'll spend a year, 2 years planning their wedding, but won't spend 2 weeks to plan their marriage. My longest wedding was 45 minutes. You'll be married for the rest of your life. So which is most important? Our priority is we put our priority on the wedding and not on the marriage.
And again, that's another conversation you say people are not having in the church is the issue of marriage and the marriage longevity.
Yeah.
Thomas in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a couple quick points. As I listened, I actually had to pull over because very intriguing conversation. But one of the points that I wanted to make is that with the issue of family, the issue of masculinity, the issue of defining ourselves and putting ourselves in all these boxes, those things have evolved over time and hopefully will continue to evolve. One of the points the pastor made was the fact that kids are confused. I think one of the keys that we've got to hold on to is that love is not confusing. Love between a man and a man, love between a man and a woman. As a gay male who grew up in the church, has been closeted and finally got over that and have moved on and accepted who I am, I need to know that the church is going to be supportive of who I am and not just a marriage, but me as a person. And so what Barack Obama has done, all those kids that are sitting in these churches being told that they're not worthy of being married, that they're confused, that there's something wrong with them, hopefully will get some validation which will impact the suicide rate that we see amongst gay teenagers. The church has got to evolve and recognize that the browbeating and the painful things that may come across the pulpit to tell me that I'm less than or that I'm not worthy of God's love, that's a major problem. And I cannot tell you the number of gay ministers that I have met over the course of the time when I was in the closet. So the issue for me is authenticity and acceptance, and the foundation of those things begins with love. And understand that that's who truly God is, and that's what he represents more than anything else, not just his judgment, but he ultimately represents love, and we've got to learn to love each other.
You know, I think mm-hmm. that that's true. We have to love each other. And again, I don't want to appear gay-bashing, but I am what I am. And based on what I've learned in school, my theology, what the Word of God says, God loves you. I mean, he loves all of us. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. He loves us. That's the good news, is that he does love us. And I feel bad for those people who've had to sit in situations where they were browbeaten and all that. I've never told anybody that you are not worthy of God's love. You know, the Bible says, while I was yet a sinner, God loved me enough to die for me. So I don't want anybody to be confused about that one. God definitely loves you. He loves all of us, and he's demonstrated that from a theological standpoint by giving us his son to die for all of our sins. And my only concern is, one, that I don't want to see our children today more confused. I don't want to see our family structure more destroyed than what it is. And it's a big issue, but we'll never get around it until we start talking about it. We got to talk about it. We have to talk about it. And, you know, I love people. You know, that's to be a pastor, you got to love people. You have to love people. And I've seen people at their best. I've seen people at their worst. I know where I was. You know, I understand where I was. And it was a loving God that saw me where I was and brought me from that point to where I am today. So you hang in there. Love you, my brother.
Love you back.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
We only have about 30 seconds left, but I wanted to ask you, Elder Reeves, when did even the topic of anti-gays, I mean, when did people even start talking about it in the churches at all? Is it relatively recently?
No, it's been around for a long time.
Okay, so it's been from the pulpit. There's
for a
been
long time.
Okay,
and even back when we were
even before it became politicized,
when we were children. Mm-hmm. You know, if a fella had an earring in his ear, in school, do you remember? Okay. We flew from him because we thought that, you know, only girls wore earrings,
and that was a sign of something. Well, I want to thank all our callers. We had a lot of people calling in. We were not able to get to them, and I appreciate you're listening to the show and paying attention. Elder Michael Reeves, pastor at the Corinthian Missionary Baptist Church, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Also, Sam Gresham, thanks for joining us, Sam. We appreciate it, as always.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.